Nabonidus went into exile, and he disappears from history. His death is not recorded. The book of Daniel in the Hebrew Bible describes Nebuchadnezzar as being driven into the wild, and we may see here some misapplication of Nabonidus's post-royal history here. The Dead Sea Scrolls refer, instead of Nebuchadnezzar, to Nabonidus as being the Babylonian king who went into the wild and fed off grass. So there is some support for the idea that Nabonidus was the king referred to in the book of Daniel. Our sources for the Persian Empire, which is also known as the Achaemenid Empire, after its legendary founder Achaemenes, are typically vague on the rise of this new power. We know it was centered in southern Iran, and its first historical ruler was Cyrus, who ruled from 559 to 530. Cyrus was really one of the most ambitious campaigners that we've encountered, and we've seen quite a few very active generals. Cyrus defeated the Medes and then pushed east to capture Babylonia and the empire controlled by Babylon. He went even further into Anatolia. Our main source for Cyrus and for the Achaemenid Empire in general is Herodotus, an Ionian Greek who lived and wrote in the 5th century BC. Herodotus is called the father of history because he used methods of research, scientific research and inquiry, to explain events rather than relying on mythology or miraculous deeds of the gods. Herodotus's history is a long work, and he explicitly notes in the introduction that the purpose of his history is to explain the reasons for the Persian invasions of Greece in 490 and 480. We'll consider some of his biases later as we talk about the Persians, but I should note that Herodotus claimed to have traveled widely as he collected evidence for his history. He claims that he traveled in Persia, specifically to the city of Babylon, Egypt, and elsewhere in the Mediterranean. He probably did not go everywhere that he boasted he had traveled, but he traveled enough to consult official records. And sometimes he lists these. On other occasions, we find accounts that corroborate the story that Herodotus sets out. There would have been translators that Herodotus could have consulted, and in major cities throughout the Near East and Egypt, and also at sanctuaries. Herodotus was also quite intrigued by different customs, and this gives us some evidence for social practices in the regions that he describes, but these are among the most challenging sections of his history to decipher. Herodotus was attracted by the most bizarre stories that he could find to explain how another culture engaged in marriage, for example. And so there are a lot of wild exaggerations and cultural misperceptions. Some of those translators may not have been as accurate as Herodotus thought. We have to keep in mind that Herodotus's goal was not to write an unbiased historical narrative, but to explain what happened using concepts that a Greek audience would understand. And again, we'll encounter these specific biases later on. Herodotus offers a vivid account of Cyrus's childhood. He sets out recognizable motifs of an abandoned infant whose natural leadership strengths are revealed at a young age. All of the boys follow Cyrus. In this instance, Cyrus was the legitimate child of a royal princess, but his grandfather, the king of the Medes, Astyages, ordered that the infant be exposed because he feared an omen that predicted Cyrus would overthrow him, an omen that would turn out to be true.